All right. Well, welcome everyone to the Region 2 Planning and Policy Council, the last one of 2021, if you can believe it. and we're still meeting virtually. Here we are. Thank you all for taking time out of your day today to join us for this meeting. My name is Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. I'm going to just go through a few things like I normally do before these meetings, and then we'll get everything started. So like I said, this meeting is being held virtually in order to just keep everyone safe during the ongoing pandemic, and we'll assess the situation the next quarter. I guess the next meeting would be in February 2022. So you'll all be made aware well in advance on how we will meet for that meeting. So I ask everyone to just please keep your computers or your phones muted if you're not speaking, just to prevent any feedback from coming through. This meeting is being recorded. It will be posted to the department website within the next day or two. And please state your name before you make any comments or ask any questions. It's just very helpful when capturing the minutes. I'm going to go ahead and go through the attendance that I have right now. Like I said, my name is Kirby Fye with the department. We have Avis Easley, who's also with the department, Ben Harrington, Brian Buck, Jan Cagle, our vice chair, Candace Allen, Allie Cohn, Daniel Ellis, Aaron Redd, Gina Steele Mack, Chris Roberts, our secretary, Cooper Urkel Bryant, Mary Nell Osborne, our chair, Mel Whaley, Michelle Trofeter, Amy Olson. Okay, let's see if I can pronounce this last name. Pamela, is it Laskowiak?
Oh.
Sarah Canada, Tammy Wilson. Did I miss anyone? Oh, and Kurt Hipple joined us as well with the department.
Oh, Kurt.
Hey, Kirby. Yes? Kirby, this is Jan. I have Maya Putnam joining me. She's an intern here at RIDGE U. She's Master's Level College of Social Work student.
Oh, welcome, Maya.
Thank you.
All right, Mary Nell.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your involvement. Again, I want to thank Chris for keeping our minutes and keeping us organized and documenting what we're doing. And I'm wondering if there's anybody who has not been to a meeting before who's here for the first time. Okay, well, welcome. We have posted the minutes somewhere on the screen. I've also sent them out via email. So I'd like you to take a minute, if you would, and let's review those. Those minutes would be from August 11th, our last meeting.
This is Jan. I make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Seconded. This is Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you. Daniel Ellis seconds. Okay. I think a lot of the committees have resumed their meetings, and I'm looking forward to hearing what's going on in those, you know, what's being generated out of those meetings at this time. We, as you're doing this, please keep in mind that we want to start having being able to identify needs in our region and in our field of interest as we're meeting, as things come up. It's transportation, it's lack of housing, it's lack of services for children, it's whatever. And we will be again asked to submit our perspective of what is needed with regards to mental health and substance abuse treatment in our region in the spring of 2022. So we can't get started early enough on that. It's not a crunch if we do it as we go. So
Mary Nell?
Yes.
something, sorry to interject there, but something I want to mention since we're talking about the needs assessment process. So for those of you who aren't aware how the needs assessment process works, like Mary Nell said, this is something that would be submitted to the department every spring, April 1st or whichever is the first business day around April 1st. They're due to me. So every regional council, the Consumer Advisory Board, and the Statewide Adult Committee and Statewide Children's Committee participate in this needs assessment annually. In the typically, it is two mental health needs and two substance abuse needs from the region that are submitted to me, supported by data. But I wanted to point out that Region 2, during the legislative proposal process, had submitted a proposal encouraging the or requesting the expansion of the needs assessment to include more needs. And Commissioner Williams took a look at that, and that was something that could be handled in our department. It did not require legislation. And what she has allowed is that every regional council, all those who participate in the needs assessment process, can submit anywhere from 2 to 6 needs this go around, and we'll continue that. Yeah, go Region 2 legislative proposals.
Wow.
So the only requirement, the data piece stays the same. The only requirement is it must be equal representation from mental health and substance abuse. So if you're submitting 2 needs, 1 of each, 4, 2 of each, 6, 3 of each. So no requirement if it's adults or children. It's whatever's in your needs that are identified. We just want to make sure that there's equal representation on both sides. Another piece I want to highlight while I'm talking about this is our next Statewide Planning and Policy Council meeting is December 14th. They're open to the public. It will be held, Aaron's clapping, it will be held virtually again. And so at this meeting, typically the Office of Research, Ellen Amahandro and her team put together a needs assessment data report that talks about the needs that were identified in the most recent fiscal year. This year, the presentation is actually going to focus on resources for you all in developing future needs assessments. So we all thought that might be a little bit more helpful to you all. I had reached out to the chairs and vice chairs of each regional council on suggestions on things that might be more helpful to your regional councils in developing this presentation. I'm sure there's going to be even more added pieces to that, but it will range even resources concerning COVID. So just be on the lookout for that as you're developing your needs assessments as well, because that I think that's going to be really helpful to you all. And again, those resources are just a tool. You're not required to use them. You can gather data wherever you find it. So SAMHSA, your own agency that you work for, this is just tools to help you along in that process. But yeah, go Region 2.
Wow, that is exciting. So a little background on that, and I don't remember accurately, but I do. Daniel, you were kind of key in being assertive about that. Daniel, but what happened is we had to pare down a list of things that we identified that were important to us and that we felt like could be addressed, but you couldn't submit, two children, so it's like, so that was the those of you with legal minds came up with the idea to say, can't we submit more? What's wrong with that? And yay for Commissioner Williams. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Any other comments about that?
Mary Nail. Hi, this is Candace.
Hi, Candace.
Very quickly, I'm going to have to step out for a second. I have an emergency over at the BHUC. I'll return as soon as I can. And give you the adult subcommittee report, but I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. We all can have crises.
Just a quick question for the minutes, Kirby. Will that list of resources that's going to be presented in December, will that be posted anywhere?
Oh, I'm sure. Now, you don't even need to include that in your minutes, but whenever we have a presentation like that, we share them all. And I imagine she's going to put something together somewhat similar to the Fast Facts resources, that the spreadsheet that I usually share with you all in your email. I imagine it'll be something like that. So, you don't need to include that in your minutes for this, but something will be shared in that meeting. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, that's a good start to the meeting. I feel like we've already accomplished something. Kirby, do you have more of a report?
Sure. Let me pull that up. Okay. Just one second. Okay. So just a few updates to share with you all since we last met in August. Some of these have been shared via email, specifically announcement of funding, so you might already be familiar with them, but I wanted to go ahead and include them in the department update just in case you are not. But first, year three of the FY22 3-year plan is complete, and it can be found on the department website. As you know, the department's 3-year plan incorporates the needs assessments in it. So I encourage you all to check that out. I have a link on how to access that included in my update, which will be shared with Chris in the minutes. The August report of the year two FY21 3-year plan is complete. That report was shared with your chair and vice chair. So if you're interested in taking a look at that, please reach out to Jan or Marinelle, or you can email me as well, and I'd be happy to share that with you. The FY22 mental health block grant application was submitted to SAMHSA on August 26th. The FY22 mental health block grant report is in progress. The councils will have an opportunity to review that soon. The department is expanding OnTrack Tennessee, Tennessee's first episode psychosis initiative, to 3 new counties. Funding for the expansion is coming from federal COVID-19 pandemic response grants. OnTrack Tennessee works with youth and young adults ages 15 to 30 who have experienced a first episode of psychosis. The comprehensive intervention model uses a team of mental health professionals and support services, focusing on helping people work toward recovery and meeting their personal goals. The new locations for OnTrack Tennessee are Montgomery County, served by Mental Health Cooperative, Anderson County, served by Ridgeview Behavioral Health Services, and Rutherford County, served by Volunteer Behavioral Health Care Services. These counties were selected for expansion based on a review of department mobile crisis data, which demonstrated a significant number of face-to-face crisis assessments for ages 10 to 24 in these counties. The department is requesting proposals from community mental health providers interested in providing intensive long-term supportive residential services in East Tennessee. The goal of the intensive long-term support program is to provide quality, safe, and affordable permanent supportive housing for people discharging from the state's regional mental health institutes who would otherwise not be able to successfully live in the community due to the lack of available housing with the capacity to meet their specific needs. For the purposes of this announcement of funding, the program intends to serve individuals discharging from Moccasin Bend Mental Health Institute. The deadline to apply is November 22nd, and I've included a link to the announcement of funding on our website that provides more information on that. The department is also seeking proposals from agencies and organizations throughout the state of Tennessee to develop new, safe, quality, and affordable permanent housing options for people experiencing mental illness, substance use disorders, and or co-occurring disorders. The additional focus of this funding announcement is for individuals ready for discharge from regional mental health institutes, including those who are uninsured. The deadline to apply is also November 22nd, and I've included a link for that as well. The department is requesting proposals from agencies and organizations throughout the state to develop safe, quality, and affordable permanent housing options to provide ongoing operations for newly created housing options and or to provide recovery support services to benefit residents of newly developed safe housing for Tennesseans living with substance use disorder. The deadline to apply for that is November 22nd. That's through the Creating Homes Initiative 2.0, if you're familiar with that. I've included a link to that as well. And last but not least, another announcement of funding. The department is seeking proposals from local providers interested in implementing the Tennessee Resiliency Project Grant in targeted communities. The department will provide funding to the 7 Planning and Policy Council regions of the state to cultivate partnerships, assess communities' needs, and provide community-based, family-driven, evidence-based services and supports that align with the 3 Tennessee Resiliency Project Grant goals. Those 3 goals are to promote early childhood mental health, to increase access to school-based mental health services, and to ensure enhanced coordination of crisis care. The deadline to apply for that is November 15th. Again, a link has been included to access more information on that. And that is what I have. Lots and lots of funding.
Sounds like they're throwing money at us.
Well, and that's a good thing.
Figure out what to do. Yep.
All right.
You just got to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, lots and lots of deadlines. And so those links will be on the site, and we will make sure everybody has.
If you go to our department website for mental health services, there's a tab that says department funding opportunities on it, and they're all included. But I also have the direct links included in my department update.
Okay. I see that there may be a couple of folks that have joined us. Candace is back, and Mary Linden is here. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Karen Brodnick. I'm on the phone.
Hi, Karen.
Hey.
Anybody else on the phone? All right. Chris has got it. Okay, let's move on, I guess, Kirby, to the subcommittee reports and updates. We'll start with Amy, I guess, the Children and Youth Committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Amy Olson from Ridgeview. Our CNY committee has met twice, once in October and then once again in November. We meet the first Thursday of each month.
I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing regarding the postage for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please, while Amy's talking?
Wait, Amy.
I mean, Jackie was on that.
There we go. Can you start over? I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. So the CNY committee, we've met twice, once in October and once in November. We meet the first Thursday of each month. So if you know of anybody who wants to attend, please send me their contact information. We started the first one in October, just a general overview, what our committee was and what our task was. And then in November, we reviewed the 3-year plan that Mary had sent out. So everybody kind of could see what direction we were taking. And now we have started to compile a list of future goals. So we'll probably do that through December, just getting the list of goals. And then in the new year, we'll tackle narrowing it down and getting the data so we can submit it.
Wonderful. I'm real impressed. Just a structure and getting a lot of people. There's a lot of members that Amy has recruited to participate from all different areas, consumers, parents, and teachers, and people involved with young people. And it's just a great committee. So thank you for your leadership in that. Thank you. All right. Anything else there? Any questions? Okay. All right, Candace, take it away.
Okay, well, I'm not going to follow that. We have not met. I'm impressed. I still keep saying it's come such a long way, but we had like nobody on the Children and Youth Committee. So that's great to hear. It really, really is. So we were going to try to get together this week, but we've had a couple of things come up. And then both, you know, Jan and I are in between meetings and attending the state CIT conference. And I just want to announce everybody, if Jan hasn't, she probably wouldn't. She was awarded one of the Mental Health Advocate CIT awards for the state just about an hour ago. So yay to Jan, well deserved. Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. So, but anyway, we do have some information because we've just kind of been corresponding through emails as far as looking at what we think our needs are. And so we will have to get together. We will review that and formalize more of our needs. But what keeps coming up, and it looks like a lot of these grants are moving forward to meeting some of these needs. I know as far as housing goes and all that, but we still have, you know, discharged unavoidably to homelessness. It's one of the barriers described, lack of beds. So, and, you know, this was coming from Daniel Ellis. So as repetitive as it seems, additional funding expansion of creating homes initiatives still remembers that it still remains that we need to keep that in our purview. And then we've still had a lot of information coming from people about the workforce, you know, and that initiative that we had put forward before that. I'm not really quite sure where that's going. So we need to kind of pay more attention to that as well. Meaningful case management and getting case management funded back the way that it needs to be. Previously, there's some people at HealthLink it serves, and there's a lot that it does not. And so just kind of, you know, revamping and looking at that. And then we also had some suggestions about, let me get my notes here, from Chris about the Disability Coalition and looking at that as well, because our state's one of the lowest Medicaid per capita spending rates for recipients with disabilities in this country. So I think we need to look at that and some additional funding. So we're going to be moving, I think, putting some initiatives forth this year regarding that as well. So that's what we have so far. And I know the needs assessments are going to be huge. And, you know, we've really done a lot in this region, you know, getting things funded and that whole thing about getting more additional needs added on is really going to be beneficial, because I think that was hard to do when we were trying to narrow down and prioritize those. So that's good. But that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Those are impressive. And I like the diversity. One of the things that I'm thinking about with these bills that come grant opportunities that come across is I'm wondering about the opportunity for collaboration between agencies that do different things. I know Helen Ross has done it with the VA and with KCDC, and you know, I think that we could think about those, you know, agencies that we could link with. They're an expert in housing. They're an expert in, you know, in serving that population. And other folks are expert at providing mental health services. So that's a recent interest of mine here, joining our resources. All right. Well, Ben, do you have anything that you would like to share with us from the Legislative Committee?
Hang on just a sec.
Okay.
So the thing I would tell you is, if you've not seen Commissioner Williams' budget presentation to the governor, it's absolutely must-watch viewing.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, and that's not just because you're a legislative nerd, right?
No, I know it's safe to say I'm kind of a policy geek and stuff, but absolutely a fantastic presentation discussing evolving needs in the state of Tennessee. I think folks will agree that the pandemic influenced the behavioral health services in our state and capacity to respond to increased needs of persons we were already seeing, plus respond to the influx of new people we'd never seen before. And the commissioner not only cited that, but also tied that directly to important funding requests in her presentation to ask for, I want to say it's like $27 million for establishing CSUs in some rural areas of Tennessee, which is incredibly important. You know, here in East Tennessee, we're fortunate we already have two. We have one in Knoxville and one in Morristown, so we get it. We understand the value there. So it's important that those services be established in the pockets of Tennessee that didn't have a lot of mental health resources available to them. Another important budgetary request is a similar amount of money in addiction treatment residential beds for persons dealing with a addiction or substance abuse issue. And, you know, part of that is because of, you know, the ongoing increase of persons with those issues that's related to COVID, but it's also a long-lasting impact still related to, you know, the breadth and depth of the opioid epidemic too. So, you know, the department is really trying to move forth and take advantage of very healthy state revenues to be able to ask for the resources we need. The most exemplary request I would point out to you is, you know, the commissioner heard the planning councils loudly and clearly, and it wasn't just this council, it was every planning council and the state council pretty clearly over the spring and summer about the behavioral health workforce needs. And the fact that, you know, we needed to not only grow our number of mental health professionals working in our organizations, but we had to respond to, you know, budgetary concerns with regards to pay scales and rates to be able to retain staff, to be able to meet the needs of our community. And so the department has put together a very significant behavioral health workforce package to request, and I hope folks are sitting down and no one falls out of their chair, a 20-year cost of living, no, excuse me, a 20% cost of living increase that would wipe out 10 years of no cost of living increases for granted agencies. So think about that. You know, a 2% increase each year for 10 years to take care of the fact that state budgets have not been able to help the agencies they contract with who do the majority of the work in the behavioral health field. So that's significant. The other thing that's attached to it is some of the bells and whistles of the behavioral health workforce proposals that have been out there. We need to have some seed money to be able to help providers like Ridgeview or McNabb or whoever to be able to take those field placement students and supervise them so that they can get into the business. So resources to pay for that. How about that? Also, what about seed money to be able to do sign-on bonuses for new hires so that organizations can recruit them? And so, you know, it really is one of those things where we got to put credit where credit's due. A lot of people, you know, got involved with writing proposals and making recommendations, whether it was a needs assessment or whether it was, you know, at the planning council level. But the state heard all of that and then heard all of it again in their task force that they ran this summer. And the commissioner is responding to those recommendations to try to work all of that into a funding request. And so that request was made to the governor, and to their credit, the governor didn't bat an eye and neither did his finance team when she told folks what she needed. Now, additionally, TennCare has made a rate increase suggestion as well in their budget. Now, it's not necessarily as much as what I've seen with the Department of Mental Health's budget increase, but, you know, we have to recognize again, we're trying to make progress where progress has not been made in a long, long time with rates. And, you know, you can't necessarily increase rates in one area without working on the other side, because 10Care does have, or does the lion's share of mental health services, behavioral health services in the state. Then the state of Tennessee's Department of Mental Health does pick up some difference there with other populations that are grant funded through the department. And so to achieve any increase in rates, to be able to retain staff or recruit new staff, we've got to look at making adjustments in both areas. So both departments have asked the governor for increases, which, you know, is a big deal. And naturally, I think we're going to have to support those budget proposals. Now, Mary Linda just put an important comment in the box, and I'll make sure you understand it. The 10Care proposal was only for community mental health centers, which again speaks to the legislation that was proposed last year by TAMHO that requested a rate increase for behavioral community mental health centers. So there is a little bit of lacking detail there that we would want to see rate increases across the board in 10Care. But, you know, at this point, we're going to have to support those proposals that are there, and then seek to add the important addiction treatment providers to that list if we can in the budgetary process. The other problem is there was a 10Care reduction proposed that was problematic, and the reduction in mental health services that was proposed was the one that shows up every time they ask for naming 1%, and that's doing some sort of cut to peer support services. That likely would never happen. It's been proposed for 20 years, and every year it goes away. So not much to be concerned about right there. As far as any other legislative proposals out there, it's a little too early to see what some of those might be. I do know that there will be a fentanyl test strips bill to allow those to be sold in the state of Tennessee, but I don't know of any other legislative proposals that are out there just yet. Okay.
Thanks, Ben. Mary Linden had a couple of points in the chat box. One is, Mary Linden, I'm going to ask you to share it because it keeps moving on my screen. Where the CSC proposals are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Commissioner was on a phone call with several folks recently, and she clarified the sites for those will be Clarksville, Murfreesboro, and an upper northwest Tennessee location.
Yeah, actually, she named four possible locations: Southwest Tennessee, Northwest Tennessee, Murfreesboro, and Clarksville. And the awarding of those all depends on the proposal writing.
Yeah. If they have money for a fourth site, it'll depend on, like, if, let's say, the site in Murfreesboro is Volunteer Behavioral Health. They already have a building. So if their costs for a CSU are reduced because of that, then they can potentially afford a fourth site.
Yeah, that makes sense. Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you wanted to talk about another initiative with TADIS? Okay.
Yes.
I think that's fine.
if I could steal the show for a minute. We're very supportive of the state's bill to decriminalize possession of fentanyl test strips, and that's certainly one step in the right direction. But one of the things that TADIS is going to be promoting this year is a bill to promote access to naloxone. Right now, there's a mechanism to get naloxone that's fairly burdensome. You have to undergo training. You can only have it distributed in a certain way. And we would are pushing for more open access so that like community mental health centers and treatment programs can actually openly purchase it and then distribute it, maybe with a reduced kind of training opportunity with a QR code so that people can, train or even refresh their training as needed, but not like an hour-long presentation to be able to get the naloxone. It would also open up opportunities for mail distribution of naloxone, as other states have done. So we're just hoping to get a broad coalition of people in support of this bill, because our overdose epidemic has reached crisis proportions. And we think more uniform access to naloxone will be important.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
In the chat box, Kirby has shared a link to the commissioner's presentation to the governor. So if you don't have that, it's in the chat box, and you can copy it. Let's see what else. Yes, clarification. Okay. There's lots of interesting little additions to what has been said so far in the comments, just clarifications on where the money is and who's identified to get some. Chris has written down the links, and she'll add those to our minutes because she's awesome. Okay.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, this is Kurt. Thanks for letting me speak. A lot of very exciting news, obviously, that we're tremendously thankful to the regional councils and the statewide councils for providing us with some clear needs and some clear direction on what y'all really think need to happen. And Commissioner, I think as you've seen, has been listening, and I believe that this is the biggest, and Ben might have said this, but the biggest budgetary ask in the department's history.
$106 million.
Whew, that's baseball money right there. That's Major League Baseball money. So that's awesome, and that has a lot to do with the involvement that y'all have now. We have a great legislative team, and Zach and Kristen Veloff, who you've met, and the process has just started. So we will continue to need your support and help and voice and advocating for those budget items. And we'll see what gets included in the governor's budget when he proposes it in the new year. But exciting, and wanted you to know that y'all had no small part in crafting this budget request. One other thing I wanted to mention, and Ben mentioned the fentanyl strips. That was a council legislative proposal. We proposed it to the governor's office. I think things are looking good. They responded with some good questions and comments. We don't have confirmation from them that it's going to be an admin bill, but it is still in the hopper for it to be an admin bill. So we're excited, and excited again that the council's input is being heard at that level.
Great. Thank you. Well, I'm proud to be here. Okay, do we have a report from the Substance Abuse Committee?
Yeah, this is Gina. We do. Hey, we met in November, I guess, as a group virtually. And of course, this was before we knew that we could potentially have more than two goals. But our thought at this point is just revising and updating the goals that we submitted last year. And then since we could have more goals this year, then that might be something that we'll look at as well as a group. We are actively trying to get some more members in our group, and I know several of us have reached out to different people in the communities to try to increase membership of our group, especially I know Michelle is interested in persons with lived experience, which we do not have any at this point in the group. So if you know of anyone who would be interested in that, we are looking to increase our number of members. We always have 4 or 5 that have been meeting for our group, which is nice to have smaller numbers. You get a lot done, but at the same point, we want to make sure that we are actively representing the people that we need to. And then this is early to be talking about, but I know that next fall, I will not be able to be the chair of this committee. I'll have a different meeting that'll take place quarterly at the same time. So just something to be thinking about for the future is if somebody would like to step up to chair the committee. Like I said, we've got plenty of time to be thinking about it, but I just wanted to put it out there.
You're muted, Mary Nell.
I was going to say, I can't hear you.
You'd think after 2 years, I would get this right? So looking for some folks with lived experience and needing a new chair and revamping one of the needs submitted last year, looking at that. And I think with all that there's funding for and the new exciting things, there might be some generation of new thoughts around what we see going on. So thank you, Jenna. Okay, any other reports from committee? Do we have any issues? Housing issues? Nope. Okay. I guess we'll move on to announcements then. And we still have some announcements that are right on the cutting edge. I'll let Ben talk about the Fall Psychiatric East Tennessee Mental Health Association Symposium. Da-da.
Yeah, happy to do that. Thank you for the shout out, Mary Nell. So for the procrastinators amongst us, we are doing a procrastinators flash sale this week. So if you have someone on your team who forgot to turn in their registration or all of them from a certain agency, hint, 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 Mary Nell.
I got mine in.
Okay. Yeah. But so if there are others, they may call 865-584-9125. Or my cell phone, 865-604-0096. And we can register folks over the telephone and we will waive the late fee this week. So Friday, close of business. If we've heard from those procrastinators, they will still get registered at the early rate, or either a single day or for 2 days.
Great.
Okay.
This is coming up.
Yes.
The dates are
November 18th and 19th. And 8:30 to 4:30 each day. And I can even tell you the dates for 22 would be November 17th and 18th at the Knoxville Convention Center, live and in person.
Oh, that's the best.
Yes.
Can't wait. All right. Well, thank
what
you.
What are those dates again? Sorry, Ben. November 17th and 18th?
Yes, of 2022.
2022,
okay. Yeah. Anything else for Mental Health Association? Any announcements other than that?
Yes. We are recruiting peers so we can expand our peer recovery call center in late afternoon into evening hours. And so we're happy to take applications from persons in recovery. Doesn't matter whether it's recovery from a mental health issue or a addiction. We are open to any and all, and we just need to try to find the right people to join our team, and we're looking for more than one. So,
okay. Thank you. Do we have other announcements, events, or happenings that are going to happen between now and February, I guess, is what?
Hey, I just a quick shout out to congratulate Jan on the CIT Advocate Award. She is so deserving of that. She was the heart and soul of the startup of the East Tennessee CIT program. So congratulations, Jan. And on a related note, it just so happens that the East Tennessee CIT class is now in session. So we have 19 officers that are in their third day of completing the week-long CIT course. So it's a really, well, I'm not saying anything that you guys don't know. It's just such a powerful tool to be able to give those officers as they respond to situations that we're a part of. So yeah, so congratulations, Jan. CIT graduation is this Friday. Ben, hope you can make it.
Mary, can I add on to that? This is Tammy Wilson with Tennessee Voices, and I just want to say that there's a lot of hard work being done in this region, in East Tennessee, and we were grateful for the opportunity to recognize Amy Blackwell, who is a certified family support specialist, to be recognized this past week by the National Federation of Families with the National Reclaiming Children's Award. So just kind of just building on that, thank you to everyone who's serving in the field at this time. It's difficult. You're muted.
I think I'm helping, but I'm not. Okay. Can you just say what that, slow down, because you talk really fast, and I'm from here. Amy Blackwell,
who is a certified family support specialist with Tennessee Voices. She's the outreach specialist for the Statewide Family Support Network. She won the Reclaiming Children's Award, which is a national award from the National Federation of Families.
That's wonderful. That's a big award. Yeah.
And this is Sarah Canada. To add to what Tammy said, it couldn't have went to a better person. I worked with her personally. With my little girl's, she's my little girl's IEP advocate.
Oh, well, there you go.
It couldn't have went.
Live action. That's wonderful. Okay, congratulations. Well, Covenant Health and Peninsula are having Artsclamation the first weekend in December, which is right around the corner. It's December 3rd, and the 4th is open to the public. It's going to be at the Sacred Heart Cathedral on North Shore there, and it's a professional art show, and it also has some consumer art booth. And it's from artists from the region, photography, jewelry, oils, pastels, pottery, everything. It's a beautiful show. It's not too big. And as I said, there's a consumer booth as well. And as it's free, but it is the only fundraiser that benefits Peninsula, and it's through the Fort Sanders Foundation. Also, there is going to be a Survivors of Suicide Day, which is going to be held virtually this year. It's always the Saturday before Thanksgiving, which this year is November 20th. This is for folks who have lost a loved one to suicide. It may be someone that you love that you're not related to. It is a tremendous support and celebration for those folks who have lost someone to suicide, which is a very complicated loss. That is going to be virtually. It will be on YouTube after the live portion of the screening, which will be 9 to noon on November 20th. PeninsulaBehavioralHealth.com/survivors will be where you can get that link. So, there's also a virtual Survivors of Suicide support group, which meets the second Monday of each month. And this is open to anybody. Doesn't matter where you are in the state, in the country, in the region. You don't have to be a patient of Peninsula. This is a community service. It's called Compass, and it is for folks, again, who have lost someone to suicide. You can refer anyone to that. It is on Zoom. Again, peninsulabehavioralhealth.org/compass, and I can get those posted. Our next meeting is February 9th. What other announcements do we have? No runs? Brian, you're not running? Biking, that's your thing, yeah. Spring, huh? Yeah. All right. Is there any other business? No? All right. Did we have someone join? I think that's Kiki Klein. Hello, Kiki Klein. Kiki is a student at UTK. She's master's social work, I guess, and we're glad you're with us.
Thank you. I think am I on mute?
No.
Oh, good. Yay. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me. I wanted to, I'm getting my doctorate in social work. And so I study and I do a lot of research in mental health and the systemic kind of oppression and systems within that. So I appreciate you letting me just kind of observe and see what y'all are doing. I just moved to Tennessee and I lived in many places, but I come from Colorado. So wanted to understand. Thank you. Kind of what's going on.
Well, and this will be posted on a site magically somewhere, and we'll send you that information. Is there anything that I need to look at in the chat box? It's hard to read everything at the same time. All right, Kurt hopped off. Thanks for all we do. Okay. Very, very, I feel very positive and hopeful by everything we've heard today, and I think we all needed that. So it's been a long couple of years hauling through all this COVID stuff, and we're going to be okay. We're going to come out and do more than survive. We're going to thrive. So thank you for your leadership. Thank you for all you do for the citizens of the state, the region, and to make life better for so many. I'm going to sign off, I guess. Kirby, you got anything else?
I don't. Thanks, everyone. Great meeting.
Great.
Thank you, everybody.
Happy holiday. Bye, Daniel.
Hi. Thank you. Great meeting.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, Jane.